All right, Shabbos, good morning. Let's begin. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Mrs. Rosalie Sklar and family in commemoration of the yard site of Dr. Manfred Sklar, Menachem Mendel, Ben Zvi Hirsch, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. And by Michael and Rachel Turniansky, and Akara Satov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Daf Yomi Limerick blog attaining 300 followers. Incredible. Wow. Odula Hashem Kitov. Shkoach, Michael. Thank you for the creativity and thank you for sharing it with all of us. And by Ira and Miriam Grossman, as a zechus for Refuah Shleima, for Nechama Leah Bas Dvora, we hope that she, together with Kol Choli Yisrael, has a complete and enduring refuah. So let's begin. Today's daf is Tzaddik 90. We are picking up, bless you, on Pei Tesimah Beis 89b, towards the end of the daf, literally last line of the daf. Rabbi Abba Amar, Rabbi Abba says, if you remember again yesterday, towards the end of the daf, we did it a little bit quickly, but importantly nevertheless, which was, we spoke about the cases where a karban was offered up shelo lishma, and even though it was offered up shelo lishma, the nesachim, the accompanying nesachim, are still offered up as part of that karban as well. And we discussed the reason for that was because halacha lemaisa, if we did not offer up the nesachim, ultimately the karban itself would become compromised. So the Gemara gave a variety of different examples of that. Rabbi Abba Amar Bishlam Hanach Olos Nenu. So we'll say in the cases that we quoted yesterday in the Gemara, it makes sense because those are all cases of Olos. Tap of Tzaddik. Ilav Ilo Chazu La'olas Chova Karve La'olas Nedava. Because we'll say when it comes to an Ola, if the worst case scenario is if it's not offered up as an olas chova, it could always be offered up as an adava. I.e., what the Gemara is saying is that halacha lemaisa with the cases that we spoke about yesterday, so even in the event that it can't be offered up as an obligatory offering, it can absolutely be offered up as a voluntary offering. Elohacha. But in our case over here, if you do not go ahead and offer it up in its original fashion, asham nedava miika. And we'll say ultimately again, is there ever a case of asham which could be offered up as an adava? And of course, the answer to that is no. So tanya kavase de Rabbi Yochanan. So you have a brayse that supports Rabbi Yochanan. Asham mitzora sheshachtu shelo lishmo. If you have an asham mitzora that was shechted not for its original intention, shelo lishmo. Oh, shelo nasan midamo al gabi bahonos, or I will say, for that matter, the blood was not placed on the mitzora. So the halacha is hariza ola legabi mizbeach. Ultimately, again, it is considered an ola for the mizbeach purposes v'taun nesachim, and it requires its nesachim v'tzarach asham achar lahatira, and it requires another asham. Ultimately, again, to permit it. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, what the Gemara just ends off by saying is, quoting the Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that if you go ahead and you offer up the Asham Mitzorah Shalom Lishmo, meaning you offer it up just L'Shem Asham, but not L'Shem Asham Mitzorah, so the halacha ultimately is that you will offer it up, meaning the carbon itself works, you have to bring the accompanying Nesachim, but it does not satisfy the obligation of the Mitzorah. Which I will say, is the halacha ultimately, again, that we've seen by many karbanos, that if they're offered up shelo lishmo, the karban itself still works. The novelty of our sugya now is that it works, and you also have to bring the accompanying nesachim, but halacha lemaisa, it doesn't satisfy your obligation, and you're obligated to bring another karban, ultimately to satisfy your obligation. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. We'll say Mishnah Tzadik Amidalev. Kol midos sheva mikdos hayu nigdashos. So both say another very interesting halachah. All of the measures, we're speaking specifically now about dry measures, all of the dry measures inside of the Beis HaMikdosh were nigdashos. We'll say nigdashos means heaped. Heaped. Remember again, there are two ways that you could fill up a dry measure utensil. You could level it, right, or you could heap it. So the Mishnah over here says that all of the measures in the Beis HaMikdosh were heaped. Now we'll discuss what that means. Chutz, Mishal Kohen Gadol. Now we'll say, now understand what that means. What that means is that halacha lemaisa, if you say that something is heaped, so then what that means is that, remember, the amount of flour, right, for a regular korban mincha is how much? Is one isaron. So remember, again, we already spoke about the idea that there was an isaron utensil. So what it means is as follows. If there was an isaron utensil, that means, if you hold that they were heaped, that the utensil itself, meaning we'll call it in the walls of the utensil, did not contain an isaron. the way this utensil was designed is that the inside, what we call the chalal, the inside of the cavity of the utensil, right, held X, but in order to complete the isarah measure, you had to pile, right, you had to heap, ultimately, the dry measure. That altogether created the isarah measurement. Chutz, Mishal Kohen Gadol, with the exception, ultimately, again, of the Kohen Gadol, meaning of the Chavite Kohen Gadol, Shei Gotcha L'socha. But say, so Gotcha L'socha means, with the exception of the Kohen Gadol's utensil, which, again, the what's called the cavity of the utensil, contained the full measure of the saron. Rashi says, Shaya gotcha besocha, Shaya gidola kolkach, Shekisha haisa nimchakas haya ba'isaron. That it was so large that even once it was leveled out, it still contained an isaron. So the Gemara goes weiter. Midas halach, we'll say, what about again the measurement for lach, for a liquid measurement? So midas halach, berut sehen kodesh. Umidas, supposedly actually another very interesting halacha. What about, we spoke about this in passing the other day, what about spillage, right? What about spillage? What about if something goes over the sides of the utensil? What's the status, is spillage the right word?
Sounds good.
Yeah, spillage, right? Okay, good. Overflow, right? If overflow of the utensil, is that kadosh or not? So the Gemara says, so midas halach, beirut sehen kodesh. So we'll say when it comes to liquid measurements, ultimately, again, the overflow is kodesh as well. Umidas hayavesh beirut sehen chol. We'll say, interestingly enough, when it comes to the overflow of dry measure, so that, ultimately, again, is going to be chol. So very interesting. So overflow of liquid measures will be kodesh. Overflow of solid measures are chol. Rabbi Akiva says, he says, midas halach kodesh. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. He says, that even, well, I shouldn't say, Rabbi Kiva says that ultimately overflow of liquid is kodesh. Lefichach, beirut sehen, I should say differently. Rabbi Kiva says, midas halach kodesh, which means, well, say, now just follow this for just a moment. Rabbi Kiva holds that the utensils used to measure liquids, those utensils themselves were consecrated. The measuring utensils themselves were consecrated. Therefore, because the measuring utensils are consecrated, the overflow is consecrated as well. Midas hayavesh chol, but the utensils used to measure dry measures were chol, were not consecrated. Therefore, lefichach beirutzehen chol. Therefore, their overflow was chol as well. Rabbi Yossi Omer, so we'll say, where Rabbi Akiva seems to be adding, well, we'll see what Rabbi Akiva is adding. Rabbi Yossi Omer, lo mishum zeh. Rabbi Yossi seems to disagree with Rabbi Akiva's logic, and he says, Elo shalach ne'akar, v'ayavish eno ne'akar. We'll say, Rabbi Yossi, see, here's what's interesting. Everyone seems to agree with the distinction between liquid and solid, right? That liquid measures, the overflow will be kodesh. Remember again, that everyone seems to be saying from the beginning. And the overflow, ultimately, again, from dry measures, will not be kodesh. Rabbi Akiva understands that it's not a function of the identity of overflow, it's an identity of the function of the utensil. Liquid measures, the utensils themselves are kodesh, therefore the overflow is kodesh. Dry measures, the utensil itself is chol, therefore the overflow ultimately is also chol. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not that. Rabbi Yossi says it's something different. You could even say that both types of utensils are kodesh. So why difference between the overflow of liquid and solid? This is amazing. Well, sir, Rabbi Yossi understands that the science of liquids is as follows. When you go ahead, see, we often understand that when you pour in, so I have a full cup, and I pour in more liquid. So what happens? So the liquid overflows. Which liquid overflows? So we'll say, so we often assume a LIFO, right? A LIFO method, right? Last in, first out, right? So whatever comes into the coffee cup last is what comes out first. Rabbi Yossi says, not necessarily. It's also possible that with liquid, when you pour more liquid in, what does it do? It churns up the entire utensil of liquid, and it's possible that that which was already in the utensil comes out. We'll say, what's the chilek? See, if you tell me LIFO, last in, first out, then that means the liquid that was poured in last really was never in the kli. If it was never in the kli, it never became kodesh. Never became kodesh, it's not kodesh. If, on the other hand, you hold that the kli itself gets churned up, I don't know if churned up is the right word, but you understand, gets churned up, and therefore, again, it's possible that liquid that was already in the utensil comes out, then it's possible that ultimately, again, that would be kodesh as well. So, I'm sorry? Right, Yaakov and Esav. Oh, it's a LIFO versus FIFO machlokas in Rashi, right? By Yaakov and Esav. Last and first out, first and first out, yeah, or first and last out, which there's no, I don't think there's a philo, right? But okay, good. In any event, says the Gemara. Money. So let's analyze this. Irabi Meir. So listen to this. So whose opinion does the Mishnah reflect? See Rabbi Meir, so remember again, the Mishnah said that all of the measurements in the Beis HaMikdash were all Mikdashos, were all heaped, with the exception ultimately again of the Kohen Gadol. Says the Gemara, I Rabbi Meir, Chag Gadol Shavar. We'll say, if it's Rabbi Meir ultimately held that there was one utensil for measuring out Minachos, and it was a heaped utensil. So that was one utensil for regular Kar Mincha and the Kohen Gadol's Kar Mincha. Irabanan, and if you want to say it's Rabbanan, Chada Umachu Kaba. The Rabbanan hold also that there was one measuring utensil, but the Rabbanan hold that what? That ultimately it was a leveled utensil. So whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? Amrav Chista, the Olam Rabbi Meir. Really, it's Rabbi Meir. Umay Komidos. What does Rabbi Meir says when he means Komidos? Kol Medidos. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara suggests it is the position of Rabbi Meir. And Halacha Lamaisa, Komidos doesn't have to be read as all measuring utensils, but rather, again, can be read as what? All measurements. All measurements that were taken every time something measured was taken in the Beis HaMikdash, Hayu Nikdashos. Ultimately, again, it was a heaped measure. Good. Midas Halach Beirutzein Kodesh. So remember again now, we have the Machlokis in the Mishnah. So remember, we have on one hand the Tanakhama telling me that ultimately, well, see, here's what's interesting. Everyone seems to agree that overflow liquid is Kodesh, overflow dry measure is Chol. Right? So Rabbi Akiva gives his logic. Rabbi Kiva ascribes this halacha to the nature and identity ultimately of the utensils themselves, versus Rabbi Yossi, who understands that this is more about the movement of liquids versus solids. So says the Gemara, Mamaika Miflagi, Tana Savar, so Tanakama Savar, so we'll say Tanakama holds like this. This is actually a very interesting halacha. Tanakama Savar, Midas Halach, Nimshecha, Bein Mi Bifnim, Bein Mi Bachutz. Midas Yovesh, Nimshecha Mi Bifnim, Velo Nimshecha Mi Bachutz. So we'll say this is really quite fascinating. So Tanakama holds that halacha lamaisa, the liquid measurement utensils are consecrated both on the inside and on the outside. Which means that what? If liquid hits the utensil, either on the inside of the utensil or on the outside of the utensil, halacha lamaisa, the liquid itself will be kodesh. Therefore, again, the overflow, which Rabbi Yossi again never touches the inside of the utensil, but certainly what? Touches the outside of the utensil, will also be kodesh. On the other hand, yovesh nimshecha mibifnim v'lo nimshecha mibachutz, dry measure utensils are halacha lamaisa, considered to be, they are kodesh on the inside, but not kodesh on the outside. We'll say, why the difference? This is just the way that the kedusha of the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash was set up. And therefore, again, fine, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi, in regular Rashi on top, lo nimshichu b'chutz, lefichach beirutzein chol. So because the outside of the utensil was not anointed, was not consecrated, therefore, again, any kind of overflow remains unconsecrated. Suppose that is the opinion of the Tanakhama. I have Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva holds, midas halach, Nimshecha maybe b'fnim b'me'vachot. So we'll say, Rabbi Akiva so far agrees. He agrees that yes, the liquid utensil, measuring utensil, is kodesh on the inside and on the outside. Therefore, again, overflow will be kodesh as well. Midas yavesh lo nimshecha kol ikar. And Rabbi say, now what's fascinating about this is in Rabbi Akiva's model, Rabbi Akiva holds that halacha l'maisa, the utensil used for dry measures, is not kodesh at all. It's not kodesh at all. Now, what does that mean? If it's not kodesh at all, well, then what Rabbi say? Then I have a bigger question than overflow. What's my question? What's my question? The actual contents of the utensil itself. So again, look at Rashi. Tap part of Rashi. Rabbi Kiva sover midas yavish lo nimshcha kol ikar v'cholhu. Rabbi Kiva holds the utensil itself is not a consecrated utensil. L'fichach mashe b'fnim b'kli kiddushas pehu d'mekadishlei. So we'll say, the flour that is contained inside becomes kadosh. Why? Because I verbally designate it as being kadosh. Hilchach Madi itzdirich le mikadish berutzin de lo tzarich le lo mikadish lefichach berutzin chol. Therefore, we'll say only that which I need do I verbally designate as kodesh, and therefore only that which is in the utensil ultimately is kodesh. But that which overflows is ultimately not going to be kodesh. So we'll say, so already you begin to see the machlokes. So you already see the first point of contention over here is the dry measure utensil. Tanakhama telling me that what is the status of the dry measure utensil? Halacha lemaisa, again, it's kodesh on the inside, but not kodesh on the outside. Rabbi Akiva, the dry measure utensil is not kodesh at all. I say, how are the contents of the kli kodesh? I verbally designate them as being kodesh. But what am I verbally designating? Only that which is necessary, ultimately, again, for the carbon itself. That which is not necessary, i.e. the overflow, is not kodesh. So it comes along. Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Shita, this is actually a really riveting machlokes. Rabbi Yossi Shita is that both the dry utensil and liquid utensil are both consecrated on the inside and not on the outside. Aye, so how do you account for the difference between overflow of liquid, which is considered to be kodesh, and overflow of solid, which is not? I'll tell you. V'hocha haynu taima dilach ne'ekar u'migavad demanaka asi. And the reason the distinction of Osai is because we assume that when liquid is poured into a kli, it displaces. It displaces the liquid that was already inside of the kli, and therefore the liquid that comes out may be liquid that was already inside of the kli. Now, Rabbi Osai, now if you hold that halacha lemaisa, the liquid is coming from inside the kli, so remember again, Rabbi Yossi's model is that both liquid utensils and, or when I say liquid measure utensil and dry measure utensil are both kadosh mi bifnim, but not kadosh mi bachutz. So if you hold that when liquid is poured in, it displaces liquid that was already inside the utensil, that liquid inside the utensil was already kodesh. Therefore, again, when it overflows the kli, it's possible that the overflow liquid, Rabbi Osai, was liquid that was already inside the kli, not just in the liquid that was poured last. We don't say lifo, but rather, again, it's possible that it was liquid that was already inside the kli, that was already consecrated, and therefore, again, he will say that the overflow by liquid will be kodesh. On the other hand, v'hayavish eno nekar. We'll say, by solids, there's no such thing as displacement. In other words, we'll say, so a very simple idea. If you have a utensil that is filled with flour, and you pour on a heaped measure to the point that the flour overflows the sides of the kli, there's no havamina that the flour that was at the bottom of that kli was the flour that overflowed, because that's just not the way properties of solids. Therefore, again, we assume that that which overflows the kli was never what? Was never inside the kli. Because it was never inside the kli, therefore what? It's not kodesh. As opposed to like, so I'll say really quite a riveting machlokis that really, if you think about it, really is centered on the very identity of the measuring utensils of the Beis HaMikdash. Did they have sanctity or not? Tanakama telling me, liquid measures inside and outside. Dry measures inside, yes. Outside, no. Rabbi Akiva, ultimately, again, liquid measure inside and outside. Dry measure, not at all. And Rabbi Yossi telling me that the truth is, it's really not a function of the... We could assume that the inside of the utensils, ultimately, again, are kodesh. Not the outsides. And this is really an issue of displacement. Liquid displaces liquid that was inside the utensil, therefore it's possible liquid inside the utensil is the one that poured out. Solids do not displace one another, and therefore, again, whatever pours over the side was stuff that was never inside the kli to begin with, and therefore is not kodesh. Incredible. So the Gemara says, v'chi ne'ekar mayhavi. But I will say, even if we say, I'm sorry, v'hocha haynu taima delach, the ne'ekar migavad demana ka'asi, v'ayovish no ne'ekar, v'chi ne'ekar mayhavi. But ultimately, again, even if we say that halacha lemaisa, that liquid displaces liquid that was already inside the kli, so that the overflow was liquid that was inside the kli, who cares? Gavra lemaid ditzarech kamechavein. I will say, in general, there's an understanding that when it comes to measuring things out for karbonic purposes, there may be a bit of extra. And I will say, a person's kavana is that I only intend on what? On being makdish that which I need. I'm only going to be makdish the amount of flour that I need. I'm only going to be makdish the amount of wine that I need. And therefore, by definition, anything that is extra should be chulin. Anything that is extra should simply not be kadosh. Amrav din rashishna mishvei dirav zosameres klisharis mekadshin shlomidas. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that a kli sharis, a service utensil, has the ability to sanctify an item even without the intention of the owner. So the fact that these items hit a kli sharis, by definition, sanctifies them, even though my das may be to the contrary. Ravina says no. The olam emalacha kli sharis in mekachin elamidas. Not necessarily. Ultimately, we could say that what? That a kli sharis is mekadesh only midas. I will say the only way a kli sharis is mekadesh is if you have intention for it to do so. So what's the issue over here? Ugzeira shemayomru motzie mikli sharis lachol. And I will say the concern over here is that halacha lemaisa, people will think that you could take, if we see that ultimately, again, that you're taking overflow and ultimately using it for unconsecrated purposes, people don't understand the halachos of overflow and spillage. But rather, ultimately, again, what people see are items in the kli sharis. If you go ahead and you take items from a kli sharis and now you start to use them for chulin purposes, even though maybe you can, right? Halacha lemaisa, we're nervous about that. So apparently, when it comes ultimately to likta solids, so people understand that solid itself was never inside the utensil. When it comes to liquids, which much more concerned because people understand the halachas or the science of displacement. So because of that, Once the liquid hits the kli sharis, even though again the overflow may have never been actually inside the kli, because it's possible that it was inside the kli, we're not going to let you use it for chulin purposes, because people will come to erroneously think that you could take something out of a kli sharis and use it for unconsecrated purposes. So most of Rabbi Zera is the kasha. Sidra es halecha is actually a fascinating case. Sidra es halecha v'sabazichin achar Shabbos. So listen to this. You made a mistake. The halacha is lechem aponim is supposed to be placed on the Mizbeach when? On Shabbos itself. And it's supposed to remain there for an entire week until the next Shabbos. Then you take it off, give it to the Kohanim, put the new breads on. Listen to this case. In this situation over here, you forgot to put the bread on the Shulchan on Shabbos. You put it there on Sunday. V'hikter sabazichin b'Shabbos. And I'm also, you go and you offer up the bazichin, the spoons of frankincense on Shabbos. So what's the halacha psula? The bread, it's a problem, right? It's pasul. Why is it pasul? I'm also, because the halacha is that the lechem has to be on the Shulchan for two Shabbosos. The first Shabbos that it's placed on, and has to be the second Shabbos, ultimately when it's taken off. If it's only there Sunday, you have a problem. So what can you do? Ketzad yase, yanichen al Shabbos haba, leave the same lechem on the Shulchan for one more Shabbos. Interesting halacha. Leave it on the Shulchan for one more Shabbos. Shafilu, hu ala Shulchan, yamim rabim, in bekach klum. So we'll say, interestingly enough, apparently, there is no issue with leaving the bread, the lechem, on a Shulchan for a prolonged period of time. So fascinating. So Gemara says, okay, you didn't have it there two Shabbosos, you put it there on Sunday instead of Shabbos, no problem. Leave it there one more week. So effectively, the same lechem will be on the Shulchan for 2 weeks. So va'amai. But why is that? Hasam nami lema gezera shemer yomru mafkidim mekli sharis. So we'll say again, why aren't we concerned that people will come to erroneously think based on that what? That you can leave sacrificial or consecrated items in a kli sharis for a prolonged period of time. Now normally the halacha is, if you leave something in a kli sharis for a prolonged period of time, what is that called? Lina. That's called lina. Right, that's called ultimately again leaving it for a prolonged period of time, which is a psul. So we just said beforehand that we're nervous to allow you to use the spillage, right? Because of the overflow, because people will say you can take from a kli sharis and use it for chol. Why aren't we concerned to leave the lechem on the shulchan for 2 weeks? Why aren't we concerned that people will say, oh, you could just leave consecrated stuff in a kli sharis and it's no problem? To which the Gemara says, no. Pnim. So the Gemara says, pnim achutz karamis. Remember, the lechem haponin is done inside the Beis HaMikdash. Shabbosai, who sees the inside of the Beis HaMikdash? Right? A couple of Kohanim. Versus chutz, versus Shabbosai, the measuring utensils, this was done in public view. Pnim, lav kuli alma yadi, chutz kuli alma yadi. Shabbosai, you know, what happens in the Beis HaMikdash stays in the Beis HaMikdash. So ultimately, again, people, who sees what's happening inside the Beis HaMikdash? No one sees it. So because no one sees it, ultimately, again, people aren't going to come to make any kind of mistakes. Versus outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that's when people come to make mistakes. Tanan Hasam. So what we learn there? Mosar nesachem akesam is beach. So what's another interesting halacha? We'll get to the, I'm going to show you the halacha l'maisa on the salsa, but we'll get to the Mishnah first. Tanan hasam, most on the sachem, the ketzam mizbeach. So we'll say, the leftover of the sachem is given for what we call dessert for the mizbeach. What does that mean? My moser nesachim. What does it mean? The leftover of the nesachim. So you have machlokas. Reb Chiya bar Yosef amar beirut semidos. Reb Chiya bar Yosef means. We'll say it means the additional measures. Right, the overflow. Overflow ultimately again is dedicated to the what we call the Ketz HaMizbeach. So we spoke about Ketz HaMizbeach before. The idea is when it comes to the Mizbeach, we don't like the Mizbeach to remain dormant or idle. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, in the event that no one was bringing karbanos, there was always like what we call a dessert fund. The dessert fund was there to ensure that the Mizbeach was never idle, and the Beis HaMikdash would bring karbanos if no one else was bringing karbanos. So therefore, again, any of the overflow from the Sachim was dedicated ultimately, again, for this particular purpose. Reb Chiya bar Yosef Amar Beirutze Midos. Reb Chiya bar Yosef says, no, it's not the overflow, but rather, again, it was the heaping of the measure. So also Reb Chiya bar Yosef says that the measures were normally leveled off, and when you leveled it off, anything extra was set aside ultimately, again, for the Ketz HaMizbeach. Reb Yochanan Amar Kosa Shishaninu. So also Reb Yochanan holds as follows. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan Kosa Shishaninu, Hamekabel Alav Lesapek Salasos Me'arba. This is actually interesting halacha. Let's say a person takes upon himself to provide flour for the Beis HaMikdash. So he commits himself ultimately again to provide flour at 4 sitin per sela. That's the amount that he's committing to. 4 sitin, 4 sa'ah flour per sela. And what happens? Va'amdu b'shalosh. So we'll say, then what happens? The price goes up. So now you can only get 3 sitin of flour for a sela, but yet he made the commitment to the Beis HaMikdash for 4 sitin per sela. What's the halacha? Yaspik mi'arba. Because you have to provide the Beis HaMikdash the flour at the price that you, essentially, when you give flour, when you pledge something to the Beis HaMikdash, you lock in the price at the time of the pledge. So even if the price goes up and they can only get 3 sitin per sela, you still have to go ahead and give 4 sitin per sela. On the other hand, Amad Beis, Mishalosh va'andu mi'arba. Rabbi say, what happens if now halacha lemaisa, at the time you made your promise, you can go ahead and what? Only provide 3 sitin per sela, and then what happens? We'll say the price goes down. So now you could go ahead and provide 4 sitin per sela. What's the halacha? Misapik mi'arba. You have to give 4 sitin per sela, not 3 sitin per sela. Because what's the logic? Sheyad hakhekdish al ha'alyona. Ultimately, again, Rabbi say, yad hakhekdish is al ha'alyona. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash always has the advantage. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, the Gemara says, so this would be an example, by the way, of Mosar Anasachim. So we'll say, so over here, what do you see? So let's say in this particular case, where you pledged 3, but it turns out that what? That you're giving four, because the price went down. So we'll say, what do we do with that extra sa'ah? So we set that aside for Ketz HaMizbeach. We put that in the what we'll call additional carbon fund, that in the event that ultimately the carbon of the Bizmeach is ever dormant, the Beis HaMikdash has funds to be able to use to purchase additional carbonos. Tanya Kavasi Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. We'll say a brisa that supports Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Tanya Kavasi Reb Yochanan. Tanya Kavasi Reb Chiya Bar Yosef. Beirutze Midos Halalu Mahu. When we say ultimately again, so let me say that differently. Beirutze Midos Halalu Mahu Aya Osaban. When you have these additional measurements, so mostly, remember, when you leveled off, the flour. And you have that additional flour. So what do you do with it? Im yesh zebach achar yakrivu imo. If there's another carbon being offered that requires this extra measure, offer it up with this other carbon. V'im lanu. And if they sit overnight, yifsilu b'lina. Then ultimately, again, they become possible with lina. V'im lav. And Rabbi said, if they have not yet become possible with lina, what you can do is makitzin bahenes hamizbeach. You can go ahead and use it for dessert of the Mizbeach. The Ketz Ze Mahu, and ultimately, again, what would they offer up for Ketz HaMizbeach? Olos. They would offer up Olos. Habasa L'Shem Olos. Habasa L'Shem. The meat would go as a carbon for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'Olos L'Kohanim. And ultimately, again, the hides would be used for the Kohanim. Tanya Kavaset Rabbi Yochanan. Suppose you have Reis that supports Rabbi Yochanan. HaMekabal Alav L'Sapik Salasos Me'arba. If a person took upon himself to provide flour for the Beis HaMikdash at a rate of what we call 4 sitin per sela, va'andu mishalosh, but then the price goes up, you can only provide 3 sitin per sela, so mesapek me'arba. The halach is you have to still provide the 4 that you promised. On the flip side, Mishalosh va'amdu me'arba. But I will say ultimately again, if you promise three, but then the price went down, you could do four sin per sale. Amasapik me'arba, you give four. Why? Shiyat hekdesh al ha'elyona. Ultimately again, the Beis Hamikdash always has the upper hand. Zeu sheshaninu. Most are in the second case of Zechon. I will say this would be the example of when we say that the extra measurements ultimately again go to the dessert fund of the Mizbech. So I will say, what does it mean, extra measurements? So this would be an example of it. I pledged to give three sin per sella, which was the going marketplace at the time I made my commitment. Price then goes down. I now could get four sin per sella. I have an obligation to give four sin per sella now, but I only pledged three. So what happens with the extra one? It goes to the Beis Hamikdash, but the Beis Hamikdash sets it aside and uses it for what we call this Kate's fund. That in the event that the Mizbeach is dormant for some reason, halach l'maisa, this fund, we go ahead and we use to bring additional karbanos. Good. So now we go by. So first of all, so that ends this sugya. But again, we want to just close out. What's the story with the utensils? Because remember, again, going back to our three machlokes, Tanakama, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi, what's the halachic status of the liquid utensils, the dry measure utensils? So the Rambam says like this, Kol amidos, this is in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Perak Aleph Halach Yotes, Kol amidos ha'ilu kodesh u'mikli sharis, Elo, shemidos halach nimshichu mibifnim mibachutz, so we'll say, so the halacha is that ultimately, again, liquid measure utensils are kadosh on the inside and on the outside, versus dry measure utensils, which are only kodesh on the inside, not on the outside. L'fichach, beirutzei midos halach kodesh. Therefore, again, we'll say, halacha l'maisa, overflow from a liquid utensil is kodesh, because the overflow, whether it's coming from the inside or hits the outside, will be kodesh. And ultimately, again, the overflow from dry measure utensils will be chol. And I will say, now it all comes together. And what do you do with the additional amounts of the overflow from the yavesh? They would, even though it's chol, they would still use it for the Beis HaMikdash. For what? For what? For the Ketz HaMizbeach, for the dessert fund. Why not just let it go out to chol? Because that's what we saw before. Gzera, we're concerned that people will come to think that you could take something from a klisharis and just suddenly use it for mundane purposes. So ultimately, again, the Rambam Paskins like the position of the Tanakhama. Incredible. Says the Mishnah. Really, really interesting. Says the Mishnah. Kol karbanos atzira. So let's see, here we go. Let's go weiter. So all communal offerings, vayachid, and individual offerings, tu'un nisachim. So we'll say in general, all karbanos come with nisachim. Okay, now we're going to see. All karbanos, the rule is going to be, all karbanos come with nisachim, except what? Except the ones that don't. Right? Except the ones that don't. So watch this. So we'll say all general communal offerings, individual offerings require nisachim. Chutz min habachar v'hamayser v'hapesach. With the exception, ultimately, again, of the bachar offering, of the maiser offering, the pesach offering, chatos and asham. That's all. Right? Those are all the exceptions. Elo. And however, there is, in the, even though we just said a chatas and an asham normally doesn't get in the sachim, there is a chatas and an asham which does get in the sachim. The chatas of mitzora and the asham ultimately again require nisachim, require libations. Good. Says the Gemara. Here we go. Turn around on. Now we're going to go through and try to understand how we know which karbanos require nesachim, which karbanos don't require nesachim. So Tan Rabbanon, Va'asisem Isha LaHashem. So the pasuk says, you shall go ahead and make for them a fire offering to Hashem. So Yachol Kala Ola LeIshim Yehi Ta'on Nesachim. So we'll say, I might have thought that anything that is placed on the fire ultimately, again, requires nisachim, which Rabosai would include every single karbon. Afilu mincha, maybe even a mincha, ultimately requires nisachim. Tamad lomar ola. Therefore, Rabosai, the pasuk says ola. That is tafkun ola, which requires nisachim. I shlomim minayim. So, okay, so now I know that ola requires nisachim. How do I know that shlomim requires nisachim as well? Tamad lomar zevach. Therefore, Rabosai, the pasuk uses a more generic term, ultimately, of what? Of zevach. Zevach just means a carbon. Told me now, I don't know that a told requires nisachim. Talmud lomar, o zevach. So we'll say the o comes to include something additional. Yachol sheni mar be'af b'char u'maiser u'pesach v'chatas v'asham. So at that point, if you're going to say o zevach, maybe o zevach comes to include what? All carbonos. So maybe I should include b'char, maiser, pesach, chatas, and asham. Talmud lomar lefalei neder o b'nedava. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, to fulfill a neder, or a nedava. But only the type of carbon, which technically can be brought as a neder or as a nedava, ultimately requires nesachim. She'eno ba b'neder u'nedava, Rabbi will say, carbon which cannot come as a neder or as a nedava, ain ta'un nesachim. So we'll say, here the Gemara is for the first time espousing a rule. The rule is, a carbon which could potentially come as a neder or a nedava requires nesachim. A carbon which can never come as a neder or a nedava does not require nesachim. So we'll say, now it all begins to come together. Now we begin to understand the exclusions. You cannot bring a neder chatos. You can't say, you know what? I feel like I just want to bring a chatos. Right? I didn't do anything wrong, Baruch Hashem, but you know, I'm kind of like a team player. Someone did something wrong, so I'm going to go ahead and bring a chatos. It doesn't work. You can't bring a chatos like that. You can't bring a Pesach like that. So we'll say, so if it can't be brought to neder or nedava, then halacha lemaisa, it doesn't get nesachim. So mashma lohotzias elu. So we'll say, so now I understand this pasuk comes to exclude the list we said above. Otzias chovos habos machmas haregel. So beregel. So we'll say, ultimately, again, maybe I should also exclude obligatory offerings which come on the yomtiv because of yomtiv. Umaynihu. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what's the example of this? Olos ri'ya v'shalmi chagiga. We'll say, maybe ultimately again, olos ri'ya shalmi chagiga, which are the different karbanos ultimately of yomtiv, shouldn't go ahead and get nesachim either. Talmud lomar o b'moadechem. Therefore, we'll say the pasuk says, or the karbanos which are brought on your yamim tovim, kol abba b'moadechem ta'u nesachim. Ultimately, again, anything that is brought on your yomtiv, i.e. shalmi chagiga, olos ri'ya, require nesachim. Mashma lahavias elu. So we'll say, okay, so now you're telling me it comes to include these other karbanos. Avi si'irei chatos. So maybe I'll go ahead and include the case of a si'ir v'chatos as well. Hoyel u'ba'in chova b'regel. Ultimately, again, because this could be brought as an obligatory offering on the regel as well. Now, we'll say, if you look at Rashi says over here, avi si'irei chatos, the hoyel u'ba'in b'moed, since the Si'irei Chatos ultimately again is brought on the Moed, therefore halacha lemaisa, it should require Nesachim as well. Now if you look at Rashi in Kisveyad, Rashi says Si'irei Chatos shall musi regalim devikulhu ksiv u'si'ir chatos echad. This is amazing. There's a Si'irei Chatos brought in every Yomtiv, including when? Including on Rosh Chodesh. Did that, the Rosh Chodesh tie-in. So I say, I'm in the thought, therefore again, you just told me before that any carbon that is brought on a yomtiv requires nesachim. Well, yomim tovim also have a chatas offering. So if that's the case, I should bring nesachim nesachim for the chatas as well. To which the Talmud says, Talmud lomar, v'chin sa'aseh ben bakar. So therefore the pasuk says, so shall you do for the ben bakar. Now what does this mean? Ben Bakar Bichlal Haya. So we'll say the Ben Bakar was in the general principle of all Kabanos. But Amayatza, why is the Torah single it out? Lahakishay love, to make a hekesh to it. Ma Ben Bakar Miyuchad Ba B'Neder U'Nedava. We'll say just like the Kaban, the Ben Bakar could be brought as a Neder or Nedava. Afko Ba B'Neder U'Nedava. Ultimately, again, so too, we'll say which type of Kaban requires in the Sachim. Only Kabbalahs which can be brought as a Neder Nedava. So we begin to see over and over and over, this is the guiding light principle. If the Kabban could be brought as a Neder or a Nedava, then what? Then Halacha L'Maisa, it comes with Nesachim. If it cannot be brought as a Neder or Nedava, it does not get Nesachim. So the Gemara says, So why does the Pasuk come along and say, to create a pleasing aroma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu min HaBakar min HaTzon, the fish in Emar Ola, because when the Pasuk said before Ola, Shomea ani afilu olas ha'oth b'mashma, I might have thought, Rabbi Osei, so now we established before that an Ola gets Nesachim. I would have thought that applies to even what? Olas ha'of, even a bird ola. So the Gemara says, Tamud omar, minabakar u minatzon di Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says, no, it's dafka minabakar minatzon. Only if it's minabakar minatzon does it get nesachim. But ultimately, again, if it's an oaf, it does not get nesachim. Rabbi Yonas and Omer, ino tzarech. Rabbi Yonas says, you don't need this drasha. Hariyu omer zevach va'of. Hariyu omer zevach. I'm sorry. The pasuk says, well, say zevach. And what? Va'of, ino zevach. Olf is not a zebach. Rabbi says zebach always refers to an animal offering, and olf is not a zebach. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk have to say min abakar min atzon? Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Hashem min abehema u min abakar min atzon. Because Rabbi says since the pasuk is a person from among you, will offer up a carbon to Hashem from a behema min abakar min atzon. Yochol haomer hari alai ola yavi mishnehem. So Rabbi says I'm going to thought that if a person says, so hare alai ola, I have to take upon myself an ola, then maybe I have to bring both a bakar and son. Tamud lomar min habakar o min hatson. Therefore, Rabbi says the pasuk says from bakar or from son, ratza echad mevi, ratza shnayim mevi. Ultimately, again, if you want to bring one, you could bring one. If you want to bring two, you could bring two. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up. It's still in the middle of the drasha. We'll pick up with Rabbi Yonasan and Mir Tzashem tomorrow.